Hello, everyone. Will somebody give me a thumbs up that you can hear me okay, please? Awesome. Thank you, Rhonda. All right. So this is office hours. We are here for 2 hours. It is open coaching, no appointment needed. If you would like to be coached, all you have to do is raise your hand. I will call on you in the closest order I can figure out from Zoom. And if you are a newbie, I will tell you that I'll also answer some questions in the Q&A. And if you guys want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. So let's get rolling. See who we've got here. Liz, you are first.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up? I have kind of a strange question, I think.
All right.
So I've been doing some reading and stuff on like visualization and like setting out thoughts that bring in what you want to happen in your life. Mm-hmm. And so it's not exactly weight loss related, but it's like helped my stress and stuff a lot, which of course helps me eat less. Mm-hmm. So in that sense it is.
Yeah.
And so far it's been working really great and some like exciting personal things have happened. So I'm liking the results of it so far, but it's almost like it's to the point where I'm thinking about something so much and I've like done the steps that I can come up with to do the thing so much that when the thing comes, it's kind of like not as exciting because you've thought about it happening already so many times.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, I don't know. I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, oh yeah, it's kind of like having like Christmas presents and knowing what they are before you even open them.
And so that, what's like, the problem with that?
Is there.
What's the problem with that?
It's kind of like, I don't know. It seems like, cause I've gotten excited about the things that have happened, but then on the other hand, it's like, I don't know, it feels like there's this level of excitement that isn't there because it wasn't really like a surprise or something, I guess.
So why don't you give me a good example and let's talk through something that happened.
So this past week, I was accepted into vet school at Lincoln Memorial in Tennessee there.
I know exactly where it is. East Tennessee, it's in Harrogate, right?
Yeah.
How about that?
So I'm excited and thrilled, and it's like a great thing because it's a lot of the work I've been putting in is like finally paying off to something. So that's really nice. And it's nice like telling people because people overall get excited and they're like, oh, good job. You've like worked hard and get all those typical answers, which is nice. But then for me, it's kind of like, okay, yeah. It happened. I'm thrilled and I'm excited because I've wanted it for so long. But then there's also this sense of like, okay, so now what? In a way, I guess.
And do you think that's because you visualized getting in and what it would be like and all the work you needed to do? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, visualization is like practice in your brain beforehand.
Right.
Your brain doesn't know the difference between actually doing something and visualizing yourself doing it.
Right.
So, if you were to get a big present in the mail,
yes.
It would be like, oh, look, a big present. Very exciting, right?
Right.
But if you get a big present in the mail every day, or you visualize yourself getting a big present in the mail every day, after 2 or 3 weeks, it's like, oh, look, another present. Right?
Right. Right.
So your brain is just used to the new thing that you're practicing. Okay?
So it kind of comes with it.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's just that it's practiced.
Okay. It's
actually, visualization is actually a really strong tool when you're trying to plan how to handle a situation. So let's say you're walking into the Chinese restaurant and the buffet is in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it's your practice to go in there and just eat all the things. But if for 2 weeks every day you visualize walking in and filling up one plate and being completely satisfied with one plate, then when you mm-hmm. go into the restaurant, you're already prepared, like you've already done it for two mm-hmm. weeks, right?
Right.
So that's basically all you've done is you have practiced ahead of time what your reaction is going to be. So it's, you know, it's already like automatic. See? Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it seemed, because I knew that visualizing it and see and like being excited and like doing all those things, I get what it does and I like what it's done. Mm-hmm. But I guess I didn't realize that it would take away a little bit of like the surprise excitement. I don't know why I didn't. Like,
I don't think it took it away. I think it just practiced it.
Right.
Take it away. It just practiced it. You can decide to be as excited as you want to be.
That's true.
You know, feelings are optional, just like thoughts.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You could say, all right, what thought creates excitement? I get to go to vet school. It's finally here. The last, you know, that last notification got here. You know, you can figure out how to gin up excitement about this.
That's
what you're
true.
Doing is figuring out how to not gin up excitement about it, how to blame visualization for poo-pooing on your parade.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I see that. Thank you.
Yeah. So like I said, visualization is a super strong tool to use. And it's a really great tool. Corinne talks about it all the time.
Right.
Because it's practice ahead of time. And that's what it does. It just helps prepare you for what you want to be prepared for.
So is it possible to somehow visualize something too much? I know that's probably silly.
I can't imagine that it would be.
Okay.
All it is practice.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Because now I like caught myself kind of taking away some of the excitement like you had mentioned. And I'm like, no, that's nonsense. Like I can be as excited about this.
Exactly.
As much as I want for as long as I want to.
Exactly.
And then I'm trying to like move my thoughts and my visualization around that mm-hmm. towards like the specific things in vet school.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. It's also a great way to stay excited.
Oh, okay.
If you think about it in those terms. If you continue to visualize yourself as you want to be a large animal vet or a small animal vet.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
A small
animal vet? Okay. So if you continue to visualize yourself as a small animal vet and all the things that you get to do to learn how to be a small animal vet,
you
can actually gin up excitement through visualization.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So you can use it however you want to. You just got stuck for a minute thinking it stole your sunshine.
A little bit.
But it really didn't. You just practiced ahead of time being excited. Now you get to practice some more.
Okay. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does that help?
No, that was. I just wanted to talk it out with someone and see where my thoughts were going.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited to come to Tennessee.
That area of Tennessee is beautiful. Have you been to the campus?
Yeah, I went for my interview. So I've only spent like 2 days in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then the veterinary campus itself is in Ewing, Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And they have like a complex set up there with like the barns and the anatomy labs and stuff are all over there.
So that's got to be an hour or two from the main campus, right?
It's only like 20 minutes, a half hour.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to Tennessee. When do you start?
So they have like an anatomy optional class the second week in July. Mm-hmm. Then I might come to Tennessee for that. But then the earliest or the latest would be August 5th.
Cool. So. We have several girls in Knoxville in East Tennessee. You'll have to hook up with them.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Several tribe members. Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. That's so cool. Jenny, you're next. Oh, let's see if I can unmute you. Oh, you're unmuted. I can't hear you.
Fabulous.
Oh, there you are. Good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. How are you? I'm still at school. So I'm in California. So
okay.
Anyway, so yeah, joining you from second grade.
Wow, that's fun.
Today was full, but I don't know about fun. I am checking in. I'm needing some help. I fight that all or nothing type thinking. I am very obsessive compulsive and a perfectionist. And so I'm finding that when things aren't going, you know, as I anticipate, it's almost like, well, if I can't win, then I'm not going to play, kind of almost thinking. And so last month, I've had losses all my months since January, except this last month, I actually gained a pound. I've been on prednisone twice, and had pneumonia. So I wasn't able to exercise. Like, it was just inside out and upside down month. And mm-hmm. So I'm finding it a little tricky to fight. I'm fighting I failed, you know, the month of April, and how to get past some of those thoughts.
So tell me why you failed.
Because I gained instead of losing.
And tell me why you gained.
Because I was very, very sick and on a medication that.
Well, that explains failure. I was sick and I was on medication that puts weight on me. So I failed. Okay, sarcasm, right?
I know. And here's the thing. I have a friend that's not even necessarily part of PNP stuff, but she's like, is that what you'd tell a student? I'm like, no. I'd say, okay.
So tell me, are you creating 24-hour plans?
Yes. I've been planning throughout all of it.
And you've been assessing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I think that's what's difficult. And maybe it's some of my teacher mentality too. the days that I know have been rough, I put off the assessment, where normally, you know, I have my little routine and I assess before bed and, you know, make the next day's plan and the whole bit. But the last couple of weeks it's been, okay, I need to assess. Oh dear, here we go.
So why aren't you assessing the past couple of weeks?
I am assessing, but it's, I don't like having to look at, oh, I ate off plan there, or, anyway.
So how many in April, how many times did you not assess because you ate off
zero.
Plan?
Zero.
Oh, so you did the assessments even though you ate off plan.
Correct.
Okay. So how many times did you eat off plan?
Out of the third, I stayed on plan 14 days out of the 30.
Okay. So about 14. Half.
Yeah.
You were off plan.
Yeah.
Overeats?
I had a binge.
Yep. Okay. Just one for the whole month?
One for the whole month. And I had one in March as well. The one in March, I did tons of writing and journaling, and it was the day I found out my dad had has cancer. And I just, anyway. Okay.
Plan eats? Were not overeats. They were still to your plus two. They were just off plan
Correct.
For whatever reason.
Correct. Okay. But some of them were like switch out, you know. Mm-hmm. I planned a salad. Somebody brought you know, like something else to school. I think one day it was a parent had made, you know, like a different, I don't even remember what it was now, but say it was like a soup or a sandwich or something and brought that in. And that is something I've journaled a lot about as well in relation to here at school and relationships. I have a hard time when somebody brings something and you know they've done it out of, you know, that's their way of honoring or loving or, you know, mm-hmm. So anyway.
All right. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
Do you think if I brought Corinne food every day, she would see that as honoring or loving? Or do you think she'd say, thanks, Kathy, but I'm not eating that. I have my food planned.
She would totally say thanks, but
yeah, she might not even say she thanks. Say, what the hell is this? I've told you, right?
Exactly. That is true. That is very true.
Yeah. Okay. So you probably do need to do some work around eating because people brought stuff to you.
Yeah.
And we can address that in a minute.
Okay.
But essentially, so what you've told me is through the month of April, you had one binge.
Yes.
You had several off-plan eats, but they were still to plus twos. They were kind of switch outs, which we're going to talk about in a minute. You were sick, you had pneumonia, and you maintained. Basically, maintained. 1 pound. We'll call it maintenance. We'll call it maintained.
Yes.
Okay. What else could you have done? Aside from, you know, the one binge, all right, we're just going to call that, you know, we're going to set that aside and not worry with that for now. Right. What else could you have done to lose weight?
I mean, my mind goes to if I'd been more restrictive, but that's not.
If you followed the hunger scale, you didn't need to get any more restrictive. The answer is probably nothing. You just had a maintenance month.
Okay.
Weight loss is not linear, especially when you're on prednisone twice and fighting pneumonia.
Yeah.
Right? And eating food that people have cooked you that you don't know how it was prepared.
Exactly.
Okay. I used to, this is totally off topic, but when somebody would bring like cookies or cake or something to the office and set them in the break room, I used to picture their kitchen in my mind.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, because I didn't know if it was as clean as my kitchen. And sometimes my kitchen is not all that clean.
Right. Okay? Well, and that is, I mean, if a student like handed it to me or has touched it, I just let it sit on my desk and politely till the end of it.
But you don't know if the student handled it or touched it before it hits the school either.
That is very true.
So, you know, you can work on that.
I can.
Well, now that I've hit your OCD
exactly you really did, and then I, you know, the visualization, I'm like, okay I can do that.
But what you do need to work on is not just automatically switching out food because somebody brought you something,
right?
You know, that's not honoring yourself and your plan. That's honoring someone else, which is a nice thing to do. But it's not nice to you, and you're the one who's concerned about losing weight and about maintaining or gaining a pound in a month or whatever.
Right.
So if you really want to get a handle on that, you don't switch out. You stay true to your plan.
Okay.
Now, as far as switching out goes, I will tell you this. Tonight, I switched out dinner. Okay? I worked a little bit longer than I intended to, and I didn't have time to make the spaghetti that I had promised my husband. So I got in the refrigerator and I found leftover casserole that's supposed to be tomorrow night's dinner and switched out.
Okay.
So switching out is okay.
Okay.
Under the right circumstances.
That makes sense. Because that what you just described would have been a couple of my, you know, off plan eats or.
Right.
You
know. So was it off my 24-hour plan? Yes. Was it on my weekly plan? Yes. So I'm okay with that. That's how I manage myself. Okay. But if somebody had walked in here and said, here, Kathy, here's a, you know, a casserole you can have tonight instead of your planned dinner, I probably would have said, thanks so much. I'm going to have planned dinner and I'll plan this for tomorrow. And then I could decide if I wanted to eat it tomorrow.
Okay.
I could take a look at it. I could think about their kitchen. I could do whatever. I coached a girl one time who runs a bank. She's a branch manager at a bank. She had customers all the time bringing in donuts and pastries and loving her with all kinds of food. You know, I'm sure some of the same stuff that you run into. And she said, I don't know what to do. I feel like I should eat it. And I said, why? Maybe you should feel like thanking them and saying, I'm going to take this home and enjoy it with my husband. Or I'm not hungry right now, but I'll have it after lunch. And then you just set it aside and decide.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. I think listening to the discussion here, there's another core piece here of people pleasing and wanting to make sure everybody else is happy over my own happiness. So I see that as opportunity as well for journaling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. People, Corinne often says people pleasers are the biggest liars because they hand you food that you really don't want. And you say, thank you, I'd love to have that. And you really don't. It's just not true. It's not being true to what you need or what you want.
I like that. True to what I need.
There right. So if you want to be all rules oriented and OCD, come on yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Anything else?
No, that's really, I knew I just kind of needed to talk through some stuff to, I have high hopes for and great goals, for the month of May. And I just wanted to, kind of check in and.
Are you drinking your water too?
Yes. I'm drinking tons. I've upped my water to at least 100 ounces, if not more. So.
Good. Oh, a teacher that can drink 100 ounces of water.
Well, there is that.
I might talk about you. I hear that a lot.
Completely. It's so, yes, no, there are ways. There are ways to make that work. And just like I tell the kids, any opportunity, instead of standing there at the Xerox machine or copy machine, I need to, take care of things as well. So, yeah.
Good deal. All right.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Bye. Amy, you're next. Hey there.
Hi. Hi, hi.
Hi.
Hey, awesome Hartman.
What'd you say?
I said Kathy Awesome Hartman.
All right, you are breaking up a little bit. So
maybe I will.
Yeah, your internet might be a little slow or something. Are you in the best place for it?
Well, I thought so.
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
Hear me now?
Maybe.
Oh, we're still breaking up a little, huh? Oh, no.
You're breaking up a little bit, but let's see if we can.
Should I try to take the headphones off?
Maybe you can try, see if that helps.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I sent in a question on Ask Coaches about my, 14-year-old friends or back then and, the fear of being at goal weight. And you had just mentioned that I should pop on hours and talk about why do I think I will have stronger connections.
Cool. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think being at goal weight will give you a stronger connection to people?
I think I will do more things.
Is that how you get connection with people?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think I'll accept more requests to go hang out.
Oh. So why would you accept more requests to hang out at goal weight than you do now?
because I feel better about myself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think? Do you think being at goal weight is going to magically make you feel better about yourself?
I feel like I think I won't be so ashamed.
Ashamed is a feeling that's created by a thought. Mm-hmm. So why do you feel ashamed right now?
Because I don't feel comfortable in my skin.
Okay, so let's say you weigh 180 pounds. Okay?
Okay.
That goes in the C line.
Mm-hmm.
Ashamed goes in the feelings line. And you have a thought about 180 pounds. Okay? Or about yourself. What's the thought?
I feel so fat.
Okay. So now you weigh 160 pounds. You're probably still ashamed because you haven't cleaned up the thought yet. All you've done is change the C line.
So I won't feel different in my gut necessarily. Like, oh, that roll isn't going to stick out quite as much.
Nope. If you don't love yourself and accept yourself the way you are today, changing your weight is not going to do it for you. Thus, we have the self-love course coming up. I'm looking for my notes here. I actually have all the notes for the self, well, a lot of them, for the self-love course up here. And one of the things that Corinne is going to talk about is why you have to love yourself now. She talks about it all the time. Why you have to love yourself at your heaviest in order to learn how to love yourself when you hit goal weight. Connected is a feeling that's brought on by a thought. It's not a feeling brought on by, I'll show up at more events. Right? Think about the model. Showing up at more events is in the action line. You do that because you feel connected. You feel connected to friends because of a thought. I'm part of the group. I like being with them. I want to spend time with them. Whatever it is leads to connection. Not, I get to say yes. You know, I say yes more often.
Right.
And if you wait to lose the weight to say yes, hoping you're going to feel connected, it's kind of got it all ass backwards.
Yeah, darn right.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So, this was a lot for an Ask Coach's answer. This is why I wanted you to call in.
Right.
So somebody calls you up and they say, Amy, we're going to do this and that. We'd love for you to come. Can you make it? Do you say, nope, not until I hit goal weight?
Sometimes in my head, I'm like, I don't tell them, but sometimes I do say no because of how I feel physically.
And that leads to being disconnected. Saying no goes in the action line and it leads to being disconnected. Because you have a thought, I'm too fat to do this.
Uh-huh.
So your feeling is ashamed. So you say no, and you disconnect.
Thank you for that picture.
Mm-hmm. So let's say they call you up and they say, Amy, come do this. And you're a little hesitant, but you say yes, because you want to generate the feeling of connection. So you have a thought, I'm going to do this even though I'm a little uncomfortable because I want to feel connected. then you attend the event and you achieve connection with your friends.
Cool.
None of this is dependent on how much you weigh. A feeling of connection is generated by a thought you create about how you're going to show up in that relationship. And it can be applied to any relationship.
And this will so help, I think, to that fear that I had with being at goal weight.
Yeah.
It was so confusing. Like, I'm like, why am I scared of this? Like, well, I want it.
It's so funny that you put that in Ask Coaches because of the whole backstory. After going through the 2-day where we didn't allow any backstories, because it's all based on everything you think today is today's thought, has nothing to do with when you're 14 years old or yesterday. So even if you have this thought about something that happened when you were 14, it's today's thought. It's not a 14-year-old's thought. It's Amy's thought today, because you're thinking it right now. That's what makes backstories irrelevant, because you can choose to think that 14-year-old was super smart and super gorgeous and super connected and super everything else, or you can choose to think that she was pooped on by her friends.
Right.
So really irrelevant. What you're thinking today, what your fears are today, are what you need to work on.
Okay.
And connection is all built in your mind with a thought. Yeah. It's how you show up.
Okay. I can show up.
Yeah.
Good.
Does that help?
It does. It helps a lot. If Good. This is a quick question, I'd love to ask it.
Go for it.
The one basic that I do not have mastered is my 2-2.
Okay.
So I just recently have said, I'm just going to track. Okay. So this next month, so April, I said, I need to do this 50% of the time, which I think I'm one day shy of 50%.
Okay.
So I know this is the difference right now in my weight or maintenance. Mm-hmm. What do you think is a good goal to make for May?
As far as
how many scale? How many times for this? Like, is all the time?
How many times for tracking?
Like, how many days 2-2? Like,
you should eat 2-2 every day.
So that's an okay goal to say, all right.
Absolutely.
I don't need to do the 1%. I just, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Now, are you going to make mistakes? Are you going to blow past your 2? Yeah, you are. And that's okay. But you try and hit those 2s every single day, every single meal, every single day. And then when you make a mistake, you look at what happened.
Okay.
I mean, it's a basic. It's like saying, oh, Amy, you only have to drink your water about half the time. Yeah. And don't worry about that sleep just about half the time. Have you ever heard Corinne say it's okay to just plan half the time?
Right. Thank you.
So look for your 2s every time you eat and journal about what you figure out. Okay, that wasn't my 2, and here's why. Well, I think I hit it, and here's why. Here's what I noticed when I was trying to hit it. Things like that. Just journal about it. You'll find it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm a teacher, and I get at least 60, if not 70 ounces before noon.
Good for you.
Can do it.
Good for you. I've heard so many teachers say, I can't drink my water because I'm a teacher. Anything else?
Nope, that's awesome. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Glad you called.
Thank you.
See ya. All right. Melissa, it's your turn. Melissa Chastain. I have 2 Melissas. So we got Melissa Chastain first. Actually, there's 3 Melissas. Wow. All right, Melissa, I need you to turn on your video so I can see your lovely face. Are you there? Melissa, I can't hear you or see you. Maybe you are one of the other Melissas. I'm going to take you back to attendee and try the other one. Oh, hello. This is not Melissa Chastain, but we'll go with it. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, good.
There are three Melissas with their hand raised. Actually, two now.
Melissa must have been a popular name around the same time. It must all be the same age.
Yeah. Melissa Chastain, I see you with your hand raised again. I'll get you after this Melissa. So how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on with you tonight?
I wanted to apologize to Corinne. I had an appointment with her on Wednesday, but my doctor's appointment ran so late, so I was actually in the office when my call was supposed to be.
Mm.
So I was writing in, but so I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that.
That's all right.
It was like an hour delay. But then my Marco Polo group and I were having this discussion all day today. And one of them said, oh, there's this coach's open hours. You should go on a call and ask. So I'm kind of bringing this up on the behalf of our group.
Okay.
And so we're having this discussion on the going back to the no BS.
Okay.
Course, and I was re-listening to the competing priorities section, because that's a big, my biggest challenge of all the basics is eating to a two.
Okay.
So I'm always working on that one the most, and whenever I went in my tracker last month, I improved a lot from the month before, and then this month it was hard again, but it's still better than February, but that's like my sticking point. So anyway, I was reading about how I was listening to how she says that she wants to get us to release the desire to overeat. That's the crux of the matter, that we have a desire to overeat. And then, so that's what I'm always writing about in my recovery worksheets. What is the, why did I choose to do this? Because now it's like I'm aware of when I do overeat, and I had an overeat on Saturday, but I chose to do it, and I knew I was choosing it because I wanted to do something more comfortable than I was used to, rather than sitting with the discomfort of having that urge. So we were discussing this in my group, and somebody said that they think that Corinne had said that she had had an overeat recently after 14 years. You know, she still deals with the same thing. And so this person in my group said that she doesn't think that the urge ever goes away. Like, it's unrealistic to believe that the urge to overeat goes away. And my interpretation after listening to the competing priorities mm-hmm. module is that you, after you practice not giving in to the urge, it kind of does go away, and that it can, you might have a fleeting awareness of it, but then you don't have to react to it and it's not a big deal and you can go on. So is that correct? Is that,
so what happens,
is that interpretation correct?
Yeah. I think you're both correct. What happens is you have a neural pathway in your brain. It's nice and strong. That's the urge to overeat. It shoots a signal to your brain and it says, overeating would be really great right now. Okay. And you keep that pathway strong by continuing to overeat, by continuing to answer it in the affirmative. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The more you practice not answering it in the affirmative, not responding to the urge to eat, the weaker the neural pathway gets. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't ever totally disappear. It just gets weaker. So it's still going to spark every now and then a little urge to eat. But as you practice not responding to the urge, it almost becomes a decision, you know, whether or not you're going to overeat. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had nachos for lunch. I made them at home, corn chips, all this kind of stuff. And I ate my plate and I sat there and I had this suggestion. I call an urge a suggestion. I had this suggestion to have more chips. I was at my plus two. I might have even been at plus three. And I had this suggestion to eat more chips. It wasn't a super powerful suggestion, but I love corn chips. Okay. So it's, in the past, it would have been a no-brainer. I was going to get up and get more chips because, you know, there's a suggestion I should eat them. But I actually had worked it down, that neural pathway, down into a weaker position, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
to where I could say, decide, do I really want to continue to eat or do I really want to just call it quits right now? You know, to more of a decision point and a deciding whether or not I was going to take the suggestion rather than just responding to it with a, oh, yes, right. Absolutely. Okay. So the urge doesn't always go away. It just eases up a little bit. You learn more about how to respond to it. It's not as strong, but you have to practice allowing the urge in order to weaken it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to practice allowing the urge to overeat in order to weaken it. Does that make sense? It's like any yeah. other habit. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
Yeah, and we were discussing all the other habits that we have broken and how it's a similar thing. Like this person, mm-hmm. she used to bite her nails all the time, and mm-hmm. And now she doesn't, but if she caught herself like biting off a hangnail because it was there, it's like, oh, okay, I did that, but that doesn't mean I'm a nail biter. I still don't bite my nails, right. But it was like a thing. So we were talking about that, but do you think it's realistic to strive for that place of just not having the desire to overeat?
You can always work toward it. Just don't be disappointed if you have a suggestion to overeat now and then.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, that I expect.
Yeah. You just tell yourself, I don't overeat anymore, but I'm also mm-hmm. not perfect, right? It's
yeah.
not my practice to overeat anymore.
Right. And what I've looked at is to make a realistic goal. It's like what my expectation, I guess, is, and what I'm noticing is that they're less often, so there's more longer time in between them
mm-hmm.
and not lasting as long.
Yeah.
And also being very aware during the time and also working on not shaming myself or beating myself up about it.
Right.
Also, and just the recovery worksheet to try to learn from that experience.
That that's such a key point that you just made. You have to get yourself out of the shame cycle when you do have an overeat. You know, if you can analyze it without judgment, you're going to get so much more out of it. But if you're sitting there beating yourself up and shaming yourself because you had an overeat, you know, you're not going to get as much good data out of it to plan what to do next time, to assess, you know, why you overate and whatnot. You're just not going to have clean space around it. It's going to be tainted with, you know, you screwed up or you're a loser or whatever it is you tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only been recently, I feel like it's taken me a really long time to get to the point where it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. That more of a compassionate frame of mind and just be like, okay, so this is showing me I need to learn something. What is it that I'm supposed to learn?
Exactly.
So, okay.
Does that help?
Thank you.
The competing priorities part in taking control. It's in the fifth module of No BS. Might be my favorite lesson ever that she did.
Yeah.
It's so
I've
good.
Listened to that thing. I don't know how many times.
Yeah. When I first listened to it, I texted her and went, oh my gosh, this is the best thing you've ever recorded. So for all the newbie, just sit still. When it's time for module 5, you think about me when you listen to competing priorities, because it was super good.
Right. And that's the thing with me is I do still have those competing priorities. And
we all do, Melissa. That's the thing. We all do. It's what creates a decision point for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I do this or do I do this? I want both. You know, and that's
right.
You know that you've gotten to a place where you can trust yourself when you can make a decision without emotion, using just the data, right?
Right. And in that moment, I've been trying to make that choice more neutral in terms of there. It's not a moral, not applying like a moral judgment to
right.
it. Like I could eat that, or there's the other choice of not eating it, but trying to make it neutral and just note that, okay, one is more in line with the result that I want and the other isn't, but not to make it a moral thing, because after dieting for so long, I have that tendency. So that's another thing I'm trying to work on. And I feel like it's helping.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. Sounds like you're doing really good work.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, I'll report back to my group. Thanks so much, Kathy.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye, you too.
Bye. All right, Melissa Chastain, let's try you again. There you are.
Hey, I don't know what happened last time.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you figured it out, whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I can't dial in the 24-hour plan.
Okay.
I have made only 18 this month, and I have only completely stuck with one.
Okay.
And I don't know what or how to get past the disconnect of writing it down. And it seems realistic. It's something that it's not that it's, oh my gosh, I'm just going to eat a salad and, you know, a baked potato and that's it. I'm legitimately putting things on my plan that I know I will eat. But when it's time to come to the plan, especially dinner, breakfast, I don't usually eat. I write it down just in case I'm hungry and it's on my plan. But 99% of the time, I'm not hungry in the morning.
Okay.
Lunch, I work, so that's pretty easy. I don't hardly ever deviate from it, but every night at dinner, it's some excuse.
So why are you allowing the excuses?
I don't know.
No, don't say I don't know. If you had to guess, why are you allowing yourself to go off plan at night?
One, I'll be like, I don't feel like cooking, or what I put on our plan doesn't sound good, or I got off work late, so I don't have time. You know, there's a list of 5,000 excuses I can give you. I just don't know how to change it.
I don't feel like cooking. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound good. What were some of the others?
Getting off work later than anticipated.
Got off work late. What else?
Hobby wants something different.
Okay.
Somebody else wants to go out. I mean, there's a million.
Okay.
Those are top five.
What's that?
I said those will be my top five.
And someone wants to go out.
Yep.
Okay. I've written these down and I'm going to show them to you. And I want you to tell me which one is the right excuse to go off plan.
Well, there's no excuse legitimate to go off plan.
Right.
So, but I justify it every day.
Why? Which one of these is the right excuse to take a poo-poo on yourself and what you need?
I justify, honestly, when I get off work late and I don't have time. I mean, that's one of my biggest ones.
Okay, so tell me, when you get off work late, what time do you get off work?
If it's I should be getting off at 5. I should get off at 5:30, but usually it's 7.
Okay, and it's 7. And what time do you go to bed?
Me, myself, midnight, 1 a.m.
So you have 6 hours to get home, make dinner, eat, relax, go to bed.
Actually, I work from home. So getting home.
Oh, you work from home.
Yes, I do.
I'm going back to the BS excuses here, Melissa.
Well, it's not for me when it comes to cooking dinner. Honestly, it's my husband. Because by the time I get off at 7, then he has to be in bed at 7:30.
Okay.
He's a truck driver, so I'm going to bed when he's getting up to leave for work, but he doesn't cook. So that's my responsibility, is to cook. So it's like, well, I'm not off till 7, so just...
So you send him out to get whatever he wants because you have to work, and you fix yourself dinner that's on plan.
Yeah, and I don't know.
You just, look, you have to decide that you want to be on plan. You haven't made that decision yet. You've decided it's okay to eat off plan for dinner.
I guess.
So when you say I can't dial in, it's because you've decided it's not important enough to dial in.
It's a no excuse. It's decisions not being made.
Right.
Even though I write it down. So if I know I'm going to eat out, then I should just write, I'm going to eat out.
Right.
Own it.
Right.
But I know that eating out every night isn't going to get me to where I want to be.
What if you did this? What if you wrote down what you would cook or what you would get if you went out?
Write both things down?
Yep. Okay. And then you say, if I have to work until 7 o'clock tonight, this is what I get when we go out. But if I'm off before 7 o'clock and I have time to fix this, this is what I'm going to fix.
Right.
That makes it realistic. Because then you're doing what you're going to do anyway. You're writing down what you're going to do anyway.
But see, then I go into, it's that, okay, well, that doesn't sound good. But I've got to get past the part of it doesn't sound good. And just
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it sounds good. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine.
Either don't eat or eat what I plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, saying that out loud.
Whenever you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so convincing, does it?
It doesn't. It's like, whoa, wait. Uh-huh. It sounds like a BS.
Yeah.
See, why did I have to get on here to figure that out?
You know, I see some of the chat pop up. Mm-hmm. You got on here to figure it out for yourself, but there's some girls on here going, oh my gosh, that's so good.
Yeah, right? I see that now. I see things popping up, but it literally didn't dawn on me until I just said it out. If I can't eat what I plan, then I can either not eat. It's not going to kill me off to eat dinner.
Well, you don't have to skip dinner. unless you're not hungry. But you don't have to eat, you know, the best meal in the history of the world. You can have a bologna sandwich if that's what you planned. I know, right. But you get my point, right? It doesn't have to, what is it Corinne says? It doesn't have to be a party in your mouth, right?
Every time
it's just dinner, right? It's just fuel for your body. It's just to keep you going because you're hungry.
Yep.
Right?
That works.
Does that help?
It does. Just saying it out like listening to me talk about it is like, okay, I've given myself a whole bunch of excuses.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So one thing I would do whenever I see that people give themselves a lot of excuses, they deal with a lot of excuses, I give them this assignment. I'd get a piece of paper out and on the left-hand side, write down all of the excuses. Like you just rattled off five of them for me.
Right.
And then
written down already.
Okay. I want you to write down an answer to each excuse.
Answer each.
Mm-hmm. So you're planning how you're going to answer your brain when it says, we don't have time to fix dinner tonight. Or that doesn't sound good. Go ahead and prepare an answer so that hang it on the refrigerator if you have to. Hang it somewhere in the kitchen so that you know where it is, so that you can say, I know it doesn't sound good, but it'll be just fine. I'll plan something else for tomorrow.
Right.
Or whatever it is that you decide your answer is going to be.
And I don't have to have the same thing my husband's having. And I can't get past that. Like, I don't know why. I'm like, I guess because there's two of us. So I'm like, we just have to eat the same thing. But we don't.
Nope, you don't. There are many days.
Have what he wants.
Yep. You can also food prep. So you have stuff in the fridge. And food prep is as easy as throwing together a big old casserole that you eat out of for a couple of times. You know, a regular size casserole is going to be at least four servings.
Right.
Right?
It is. And it's just getting past that. It's got to be different every day. You know, I've got to have something different. And
there's another excuse. Put that on your list.
I got to go talking. But, I mean, literally in my head, I think I do. I've got to have a different meal every day. But, and I like chicken. I could eat chicken every day. But, I don't know. I guess I figure I have to cook something else every day. But I don't.
You don't. Kathy G in the chat is talking about rotisserie chicken. You can buy a big old rotisserie chicken and eat off that all week.
All kinds of different ways. Same lunches almost all the time. I mean, so it's dinner's not any different than lunch. It's just a meal. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Cindy, you're next. All right, let's see. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I joined the tribe in April. I've been following the PNP as a groupie since January. I feel pretty dialed into the 24-hour plan. The hunger challenge really helped me hone in on my two. And the thing that's really come up for me as I've been working with the 24-hour planner is the whole goals thing. Not so much goals related to working my program as it relates to my food, but just goals in general. And
you talk about the very top of the page, three goals for the day. Okay.
And what, one of the first things I heard on the podcast that really resonated with me was when Corinne says, don't quit on myself or don't quit on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I have a really hard time honoring commitments to myself and others. So I've been paying attention to what goals get done versus what goals don't get done. And the themes that around, so a lot of it's time management. I just run out of time. But I'm noticing the goals that are related to planning a career change for myself are the ones that I'm procrastinating on the most. And And I know that you navigated a fairly big career change. And yes. So I was wondering if you could kind of just help me sort of crack that a little bit, because even though I'm fairly new and most of my attention's going on just trying to really nail the workings, the mechanics of the work around the food, that's the bigger source of angst in my life in terms of I really want to be moving towards this goal, or at least I think I do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If you're not keeping up, you know, if you're not, if you're ignoring those goals, is it something you really want to do? Why are you not moving that direction?
I know that there's this fear of visibility in a private practice. So I'm a nurse and I've been a nurse mm-hmm. for almost 40 years. And about 2.5 years ago, I completed a coaching program where the focus was on somatic coaching, which is kind of a body-oriented coaching. I have a pretty clear sense of the population I want to work with, which would be people mm-hmm. navigating health crises or mm-hmm. chronic illnesses and connecting with the body. And the thing that keeps coming up for me, and I actually even have my own somatic coach, and we're talking about this, that there's this resistance. And so in that coaching milieu, what I came up with, because you work with one kind of mantra or principle, and what I came up with is I am a commitment to honoring my commitment to self and others. If I was to pick one transformational difference that my future self would embody, it would be that when I make a commitment to myself or others, I follow through with it.
Okay.
That's what my goal is for myself.
Okay.
So,
you know, that's just a decision. Honoring a commitment is just a series of decisions.
Could you break that down for me a little bit, please?
Well, if you make a commitment to someone, you've decided what you're going to do, then you do it. It's a decision to do it.
Okay.
A commitment to yourself. Okay, let's say you're making a commitment to yourself to do a 24-hour plan for the next 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
So you've made the commitment, then you just do it. You make the 24-hour plan for the next 7 days. That's how you honor a commitment. It's just a decision to go to work and to do the work.
So how do you navigate when the resistance comes up to follow through with that commitment?
Then you look at why you're resisting.
Okay.
So why are you resisting a job change?
Fear, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fear.
Fear of what?
A failure. I mean, nursing has created an incredible amount of job security for me and identity. And so the feedback I've gotten from people that I coached during my internship and even with my patients, my sense is that I have a natural calling for this.
Okay.
But there's something different about when I walk into a room as a nurse versus when I walk into the room, when somebody walks into an office space and I don't have that identity to be behind, and it's just me. And do I really, I think there's also some fear, like, do I really have the talent for this?
Okay.
Yeah.
So by not following through because of fear, you know what you're doing? Fear of failure, you know what you're doing?
Mm-mm.
You're failing ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can just skip all that part and decide not to do it and take away the fear of failing because you're failing ahead of time. So what's the worst thing that can happen? Let's say you take the leap, you quit your job, you decide to do this other thing, this coaching, I guess. What's the worst thing that can happen?
I think for me, the worst thing that could happen is that if I was not successful at it, then mm-hmm. it feels like, oh gosh, so much of my career as a nurse has been, oh, if I was only doing this other thing, mm-hmm. that's what I really want to be doing. And it's sort of like pining away for an unrequited love, I guess.
Okay.
And so
let's say you leave the nursing career, you start the coaching career, and it doesn't take off. What happened? What's the worst that can happen if it doesn't take off?
and go back to nursing.
Yeah. Go back to what you know.
And I'm not planning on like...
But you go back to nursing knowing that you gave it your best shot. And it just wasn't, you know, it either didn't enjoy it, it didn't take off, it didn't whatever. But you're not sitting around in fear wondering if it would have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So now I just got to get all the little fat girl thinkers in my brain to speak with that.
What do they have to do with it? Nothing. You just have to decide if this is what you want. Here's what you have to do. I'm going to hit the action line on you. Okay.
All right.
Here's what you have to do.
Okay.
You set yourself some deadlines.
Okay.
Come up with, I don't know, there's probably at least 30 things you have to do to get this together, right?
Right.
Write them all down and set some deadlines.
Okay.
And then every day when you look at that list and you say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You say, I'm certainly not going to make it if I don't try. So if this is what you really want, then you have to set it in motion.
Okay.
No, but that's the decision point. That's the first decision. Is this what you really want? Do you really want to take this chance? Do you really want to follow this dream? If you do, then stop all this BS thinking over here and get to work on it.
Yeah.
If you really feel called to do that's what got me to finally move. When I really did the work on deciding if this was really my purpose, if this is really what I was intended to do, what feels good, how I serve others, what feels good to me, what, you know, whatever, then it's time to just, you know, nerves, anxiety, stress, fear, all of it, it's time to take it on and move that direction.
So, Kathy, can you tell me what kind of work you did around it? Was it TDLs?
Yeah, lots of them.
Okay.
I asked myself a lot about what is my purpose? Why am I here? What skills do I have? What kind of difference am I making doing what I'm doing? What kind of difference can I make doing this other thing?
Hmm.
You know, what fills my tank? What I can tell you right now, if I was still a government accountant, I would not be working at 7:08 at night. Okay? It didn't fill my tank. It filled my pocketbook, paid my bills. But it didn't fill my tank. You know, I could do this work 12, 14 hours a day. I actually have to stop myself and go downstairs and spend time with my husband. That's how you know when it just feels right, when you really do your work on what your purpose is and where you see yourself, you know, If that's where you just so clearly see yourself and what feels right to you, then you have to set the fear aside. If that's what you want to do, you can stay in nursing, but then you can't regret not moving toward the coaching.
Yeah.
You know, you just tell yourself that's a decision. I'm just not ready. And I'm telling you, I wasn't ready for about 3 years.
Okay.
So you thought when I made the decision, it felt amazing. And terrifying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was excited and terrified at the same time for about 2 weeks.
Mm.
And the more you thought download about it, the more you think about it, the more you plan your future, the more you stay forward thinking, if it's really right, the excitement takes over the terrified. I'm not terrified anymore. Right?
Is there any place on the web that where there might be questions on this particular topic about how to, you know, because you asked some, I'll re-listen to this and start with the questions that you asked yourself.
I'll have to think on it. I don't think Corinne has done any work on any tribe work on your purpose. I think, I'll have to think on it. There might be something over on the Life Coach School podcast, but I'm not absolutely certain. But I'll think on it. And, if I find something, I'll put it in the notes to this office hours. Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Or if any of your TDLs, you can think of any questions you added.
Okay.
I would appreciate you put them in there, because I really, that was like, I got to ask Kathy about this because I know she went through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did. I still, you know, it's funny. It's not, I was pretty stagnant in my old job. And I don't want to say you're stagnant as a nurse, but there's only so much, you know, so much growth to be had.
Yeah.
In this job, there's like ample opportunities for growth and learning and doing more. And, you know, I can go back through No BS 14 times and still learn stuff and apply it. So that's also exciting to me. Some people don't want to learn anymore. I didn't think I was one of them until I started learning more and more. So you just kind of clue into what it is you want and where you see yourself. Have you been all the way through No BS yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, in fact, yesterday just listened to the whole, I don't know if I've been through the whole thing, but I just did the whole model thing, you know, the TDLs and the model, because I really feel like that's my ticket to liberation.
Okay. When you get to the future self work, do that work, not only with weight loss in mind, but with your career change in mind.
Okay.
I think that'll probably be the best help for you.
Okay.
That's where you can start. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Sarah, you're next. Let me unmute you. Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
So this is my first coaching call, but I've been in the tribe since last year.
Oh, wow.
So, I've just never done a coaching call. I've listened to them all the time. So the hunger scale challenge last week, I really struggled with the night where you had to leave half. I had a lot of drama around it.
Okay.
And, did a lot of TDLs and models. And talked with my Marco Polo, one of my Marco Polo groups, and found that I have a lot of issues around leaving food on the plate because of not wanting to disappoint whoever made it.
Okay.
So there's the people pleasing thing in there. And when you were talking to Melissa about the excuses, I thought I need to do that for some of these excuses too.
Yeah, it's a great exercise.
But I have found I don't have trouble leaving half on my plate when it's breakfast or lunch, but I do for dinner. So I don't know if there's any suggestions that you may have.
So why is that?
I have a feeling that it's because I'm usually at dinner with my husband or with my son. And I think there's some issues around that. I have trouble making food neutral. For me, it becomes like for instance, last week when I had that salmon on, and I had made the decision I was going to leave half of it on the plate, I literally shook, like trying not to eat the other half. I was like waiting for the waitress to come, and it like really, I struggled completely with it. I finally took my napkin and covered it up because I just didn't look at it. And so I've been trying to figure out, you know, why do I have this physical reaction at night, but not during the day?
Do you eat with your husband and son during the day?
Not
or do
usually.
You eat by yourself?
Usually I eat by myself during the day.
So what is it about the husband and son and leaving food?
I don't know.
If you had to guess, what would it be?
I guess because I don't want to be wasteful, and that's, I don't want to teach my son to be wasteful, but at the same time, I want him to be healthy.
What about your husband? You want to teach your husband to be wasteful?
No, my husband, I don't know. I think my husband's, I have issues around dinner with my husband because my husband always wants to, like, I will put something on my plan and he will say, I don't want that.
Okay.
So, okay. Then
he's allowed to say that.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. I'll say, let's go out to dinner somewhere then where I can have what I have on my plan.
Okay.
I'll do like salmon or steak. Mm-hmm. So we'll get there. I think a lot of it is the drama around what are we going to have for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I'm going to have, but mm-hmm. it's getting everybody else on board. And so when we finally get there, then I still have all these emotions going on and I don't know how to control them. Does that make sense?
So why do you have all the emotions going on? You made everybody happy. You're going out now. Everybody gets to eat what they want.
I did.
Yeah. So and why do you have all the emotions?
I don't know. I guess then I have to think about me and making sure I'm eating to my two. I feel like I'm not enjoying food anymore because I'm always thinking about, am I eating to my two? Am I putting my fork down between bites? Am I you know, picking the right thing? I have all this chatter all the time, mm-hmm. dinner. I don't have that at lunch and breakfast.
Why?
I don't know what the
difference. Do you eat to your two at lunch and breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, I always eat to my two at lunch and breakfast. I mean, occasionally I'll go to my three, but usually okay. I'm pretty good at eating.
So what's different about dinner?
I'm thinking that maybe it's just I am so good at planning the beginning and then the end of the day kind of falls apart. And then I'm just reactive mode. Even though I'm eating probably 75% of the time, I'm eating what's on my plan at night. But I'm fighting with myself the whole time I'm eating and I'm not enjoying it.
Why are you fighting with yourself?
I am mentally talking to myself the whole time. Are you at your two?
Mm-hmm. You're doing that at lunch too.
No, I don't do it.
You don't do that at lunch?
I don't do it at lunch.
So how do you eat to your two at lunch?
I think it's just that I'm packing less. Like I know exactly how much to eat to get to my two in most cases.
So you're serving up more at dinner time than what it takes to get to your two.
We go out a lot at dinner. Okay. And so there's typically a lot more at dinner.
Okay. So you go out a lot at dinner. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on going out or are you just planning and then you're reacting by going out because your husband doesn't want what's on the plan? Or both?
Probably a combination. Most of the time we have planned to go out. Sometimes it will be, I'll put things on my plan like chicken and vegetables mm-hmm. and a potato or a salad or whatever. And I can get that wherever. So even if we don't have something at home that my husband will like, I know mm-hmm. I can translate that to the restaurants. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I still don't know why you're having trouble with your two at dinner.
I don't either.
Yes,
I think it's less about the two and more about the drama over the food. Like I know where my two is usually.
You know, drama is just a story you create in your head. So you're creating the drama. It's not your husband creating it. It's all you. It's all what's going on in your head.
Okay.
You're reacting to your husband. You know, you react, sounds like you're reacting with drama rather than, well, he's going to want to go out.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you just assume about four times a week, he's going to want to go out.
Right.
Because he's not going to want what you've got planned.
Yep.
What if you just took the drama out of it? Would you be able to eat to your two?
I think I would still be challenged when I got to like half of my dinner. And maybe there's, you know, some of that clean plate club angst still going on in the back of my head mm-hmm. that I need to continue to do some work on to make food more neutral. Because I think that's a lot of my issue. Like,
all right. So I'm fixing to give you an assignment.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to post in the Facebook group and tag me this okay. time next week, next Tuesday.
Okay.
And tell me how you did.
Okay.
You're going to leave food on your plate every lunch. At least a quarter of what you served up yourself.
Okay.
Maybe half. But every day you're going to leave food on your plate at lunch and you're going to see how it's different than leaving food on your plate at dinner.
Okay.
Because you need to figure this out. Okay. You need to figure out why dinner is an issue. It may have, I don't know. I don't want to offer you any thoughts. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to leave, like a quarter to a half of lunch every day.
Okay.
For the next week and see what comes up. See if it's the same chatter or if it's different chatter or if it's no chatter at all.
Okay.
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 And here's the other thing you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
When do you plan your meals? You plan, like, do you do a weekly plan and then go to the grocery store and then a 24-hour plan or something?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Well, do you do it like over the weekend, Friday, Saturday?
I usually do it. I usually plan on Friday or Saturday and shop Saturday or Sunday, depending on my weekend.
All right. This weekend,
mm-hmm.
you sit down with your husband and you say, honey, I want you to help me plan next week. What do you think you'd like to eat?
Okay.
Okay. I did that with my husband and it was a game changer.
Oh, okay.
When he had input on the plan,
uh-huh.
and he knew what was coming up, there were
not an issue anymore.
Not an issue at all.
Okay.
The other thing I did when I first met Corinne, you may have heard this story. When I first met Corinne at the church retreat, I came home and I sat across from my husband and I said, I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to try this losing weight thing one more time because this girl makes a lot of sense. I may make some things that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Taco Bell and get whatever you want and you won't hurt my feelings. And he did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give your husband a pass and say, you know what, this is what I'm fixing tonight. If you are not going to hurt my feelings if you go to Taco Bell or order a pizza or do whatever it is you want to do.
Okay.
And just let him make that choice. And that way you stay true to your own plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably save some money.
Right.
You save some angst about being served up a meal that's too big and all that.
Okay. Okay.
But I really want you to leave some food behind at lunch and see if something comes up for you.
Yeah.
See if any of this chatter comes up. Because I think that's how you'll be able to tell whether it's the leaving food behind or whether it's a thought you have about what your husband's thinking or your son or your whatever.
Okay. So
I think you're going to need to nail that in to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay. Great. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So we have about 40 minutes left, and I have 5 hands raised. I have Julie, Erin, Tanya, Lauren, and Melissa. So I'm going to try and get to all 5 of you. I have my fingers crossed that we can turbo jam through this. Julie, you're next. We'll see how we do. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Well, Amy said something that made me raise my hand. I don't remember what she said now, but...
I talked to Amy about connection.
Well, I think it was about fear of getting to goal and something like that. And mm-hmm. I just came back from a weekend where I saw a lot of family members. My brother got married and mm-hmm. Again, and a lot of members I had not seen in a long time, like a year and a half anyway. And so here I've spent the last year about the same weight. And so I had a goal that I was going to lose like 7 pounds less than I actually did weigh the day of the wedding. And so I'm going in with this weekend feeling like not necessarily a failure, but kind of disappointed in myself. So I wasn't super hard on myself. It was just like, well, I didn't do it. And the feedback I got from everyone was, oh my God, you look so amazing. You've cut yourself in half. You look so great. And they went on and on and on and on because I am thinner than when they saw me last.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm wondering, so then I am having this, I think, this day after perfect syndrome where Monday and Tuesday, all I do is eat all night. Like, well, I guess I don't have to do this anymore because I look amazing. And so I think what I'm asking for is something to jump me out of this stuckness. I just am stuck at this one weight for for a year, and I lose a pound or two, and then I go, ooh, and then I gain it back, and then I lose a pound or two, and then I gain it back.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why. Sometimes I think it's, I just don't want to deprive myself. But I find that actually when I lose weight, I actually am eating bad food. And I know there's no bad food. I lose weight when I go on vacations, which is crazy because I eat all the things and drink all the things and I move more, but I lose weight. So I don't know. I need a better reason. I need a better why. And I'm retiring in 30 some days. Mm-hmm. It's freaking me out, but only because I'm losing my identity. I'm a speech pathologist in an elementary school, and how am I not going to do that? But anyway, that's a separate issue. But
losing my identity is a thought you need to think about. You need to thought download on that.
Is.
Yes, yeah, that's a killer thought because you're not, you're still Julie.
Well, I'm losing an aspect of me.
No, you're not losing anything. You could still be a speech pathologist. What you're doing is changing careers, basically.
Yes.
You're not losing anything.
World traveler. And
mm-hmm. That sounds terrible, by the way. World traveler.
I know.
Okay, I know. So how much more weight? How close are you to goal weight?
Well, see, that's the problem. I'm close. Well, it's not a problem. It's wonderful. But maybe 15 pounds would be
okay. Wonderful. So here's what I would tell you.
5 pounds would be fabulous.
If you're maintaining where you are right now, you're eating to maintain where you are right now.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. If you want to lose 15 more pounds, you need to reevaluate your hunger scale. You might need to level up your food. But it's going to take a little bit of effort and work on your part. And you're going to have to decide if you want to do it.
Well, there's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to do it enough or something. I mean, some days I do.
Well, do you? Do you want to do it? Do you want to lose 15 more pounds? Or are you good where you are?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Then why aren't you doing the work?
Well, I think my motivation has to be more internal than external because my friends and family are not helping me by saying how wonderful I look.
That doesn't matter. What they say doesn't matter. It's not, they're not helping you. They're not hurting you. That's the C line. You get to decide. You've decided they're not helping you. Maybe I don't need to lose weight because they say I look great. Is that what you want? You want to, you know, run on what they think, or you want to run on what you think?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, my Marco Polo, if they're listening, they're going, mm-hmm.
is that what they're saying too?
Oh, yes. I just have to stop worrying about what anybody else thinks. And
what does Julie want? That's the key. Yeah. If Julie wants to lose 15 more pounds, then Julie needs to just get to work. You're in Queen's Club, right?
Yes.
There's a master class on complacency. What to do when you take your foot off the gas. I know this because I did it. And it was probably about September, October, sometime last fall.
I did it then.
Hmm?
I probably went through it then and did that.
Go back and listen to that. See if you can figure out why. And what you need to do to get to put your foot back on the gas. If that's what you really want.
Yeah, because I have all the tools. Mm-hmm. And I've done them all. And mm-hmm. I've been successful and not successful. And I, and then I think, I'm really looking forward.
Motivation is earned. I'm not going to wave a magic wand tonight and Julie's going to go, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Oh, that's
motivation is that little snowball that you start and you have to roll it while it gets bigger and bigger.
Yes. It's,
you have to act as if you are motivated and then you become motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And have a plan.
Yeah. Not kick yourself in the teeth when you have an off plan eat.
Yeah. I'm getting too good at that actually.
Yeah.
Then I think maybe I'm not hard enough on myself because I'm like, oh, that's okay. Yeah, I can't do that either. So I know.
Well, it is okay as long as you get back on plan. All right. That's not, you know, I was talking about the nacho chips yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean I didn't eat on plan at dinner? No. Like, well, maybe I need to do a recovery worksheet. Maybe I need to figure out why I did that so that next time I have that same thought, I know how to handle it.
Yeah. And I part of me thinks it's not that terrible that I've stayed the same for a year because I stayed the same and I didn't gain.
Right.
And I lost like 35, 40 pounds right. And I've kept it off for a year. So I have to think, and in that year, I've lost 2 sizes of clothing. It's weighing the same. I don't mm-hmm. get that, but my body's like shifting around all the fat. I don't know. I have no idea, but I have learned so much. Like yesterday I'm calling it a buffer buffet or a buffer banquet because I know exactly what I did, why I did it. And I wouldn't have known that a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, now I know. I've learned a lot in my head.
You've practiced maintaining your weight while mm-hmm. you've up-leveled your thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go. Now it's mm-hmm. time to apply the thinking to a little bit more weight loss.
So you don't think it's like a fear of losing weight? Or I don't know if it is or not. I don't think
it's a fear of losing weight. I think you just haven't decided you're ready to do the work.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you're right. Well, I
thank you for saying so.
Yes, Kathy. I really, really want to come to that 2.5-3 day thing in August this year. So when that gets announced, mm-hmm. I think that's what I want to commit to and get inside this brain of mine and really say, all right, what is the crux of this? What's going on? So
that's gonna be awesome.
That's my retirement present to myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right. Well, thank you. I'm going to let you get on to the other ladies. You get everybody in tonight.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Erin, you're up. Hello. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Good.
Thanks for hanging in.
No, yeah, no problem. And I've got to go by 8:45, so I'm going to make it quick too.
Okay.
I just was hoping for you to help me with some thought work that I'm trying to work on.
Okay.
I had conflict at work mm-hmm. that I am not used to, and I'm trying to work through it and figure out how to think about it and be a little more objective and not let it upset me so much. Okay. So I've done a model. And I'm just not getting to a good thought. So I'm a instructional coach at a school. I've worked with a team of teachers for 2 years and there's been tension and it kind of all hit the wall, with one of the teachers on Thursday and we argued. And in the argument, she said, I'm a veteran teacher and I don't need your help, which is kind of like the underlying everything problem.
Okay.
But there's a lot of levers that I can't control in this. I'm not administration. You know, I can't control what the principal does and that sort of thing. So I use that as my C line because that's what she said.
Yep.
And I'm just having a hard time coming up with a thought that is neutral or positive. You know,
well, let's do the ineffective model first.
Do you understand where she's coming from?
Let's do the ineffective model first. When she said that, how did you feel?
Can you say that again?
Let's do the ineffective model first, the unintentional model.
Okay.
When she said that, how did you feel?
On, and then I took them out and now I can't hear you. All right, the ineffective model is easy. You know, the C line is the same. The mm-hmm. thought is, you know, she's a not nice person. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is angry. Mm-hmm. And my actions are to be rude back, which I'm not sure I would say rude, but I was not the calm person I was hoping to be in this confrontation.
Okay.
Then the relationship, which is what we need in order to move forward, is worse.
Okay. All right. So basically, your thought of she's not a nice person resulted in you not being a nice person either.
Right.
Okay. So you want to create an intentional model, but you want neutral as the feeling?
I pick neutral because I'm not sure I can get to positive.
How about professional?
Okay.
Would you want to be professional in this situation?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're professional, when you act professionally, what do you do?
Try to be less emotional.
Let's make it more active. I don't need your help, Aaron. And you're the professional. What do you do?
Well, what I said was, I'm not here to help you, and which is true. My job is not necessarily meant to help her. It's supposed to be focusing on the kids.
Okay.
But
so yeah. You responded to her?
I did.
Okay. Did you? So is there a way you would respond differently? Not with what you said, but in your demeanor? Would you respond more professionally? Would you not respond at all? I would
try to do it calmer, probably.
Okay. Respond calmly. What else would you do as a professional in this situation?
Honestly, I wish I had just ended the conversation.
Okay. Because
at the time, I kind of thought, well, this is really the crux of it. Like when she said that,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, well, this is the issue we've been having. Let's just talk through it,
mm-hmm.
Get it out there. Whereas she did not want to do that.
Okay.
And she said, I don't want to talk about this. You know, so I wish I had just left it.
Okay. What else? Anything else?
Well, it's just hard because I don't have control over a lot of things. Like,
you have control over yourself,
right.
And you have control over how you act.
Control over when I talk to her again.
Right.
Or,
right. So would you plan another meeting? Would you take notes about the meeting? Would you assess, you know, would you do anything else
differently from what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have just realized she was upset and not in a
discussion
that it wasn't going to go anywhere, and I would have just left it and come back to it at a different time.
All right. So as a professional, when she said this, when acting professionally, you would have responded more calmly and just ended the conversation, which would have resulted in what?
Hopefully having a time later on where we could come back and address it when we were both calmer.
Okay. So it resulted
in a stronger working relationship where hopefully we could like clear up misconceptions.
Okay.
Because what I'm finding is, you know, this is a pretty big deal, and I was really couldn't get out of my head for a really long time. And this weekend, in order to stop thinking about it and like replaying it, I thought, well, maybe I need to just write it down because my brain's trying to remember. So I wrote it out, just get it out of my head. And then I realized I was buffering with just like books and TV shows, just because if I didn't, I couldn't not stop thinking about it. And now I'm just having a hard time. I don't know how to move forward with it. I think there's a good chance it's not going to end well. And like,
what you're doing is worrying a lot.
Oh,
you're creating a lot of drama in your head over this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Had you been confident and professional when this happened, you would have known that I don't even know if you can call it, the result would be a stronger work relationship. It would just be confidence in how you showed up.
Yeah.
I think is the result that you want.
Frustrated in how I showed up. I didn't feel well and I didn't make the choice.
So let's change that result to confidence in how you showed up. Okay.
Okay.
And I think this is going to help you with the thought. Okay, so we go back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know that she said this, but you want to act professionally. What thought creates, you know, a professional, confident Aaron in this situation?
That's her stuff. It doesn't really have to do that much with me.
What about a thought about you? How about this one? I'm good at my job. I know how to do my job.
Well, that's a hard thought, because if I was good at my job, she would understand that I
wouldn't. No. You got a manual for that girl. You have no control over anything she thinks or does.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Do you have this same problem with every teacher you talk to?
No.
No. So she's your unicorn.
Right.
Every other teacher you're good at your job with, right? You know your job.
Right.
She doesn't, how you show up with her depends on this thought. She doesn't have to think it. She doesn't have to agree with you.
Right.
She doesn't have to need your help. She doesn't have to think she needs your help. You just have to show up. And if you show up thinking I'm good at my job, you're going to act professionally. You're going to handle the whatever it is she says professionally. And you're going to have confidence in how you showed up.
But, I know that there's things that could have been done better so that she would have a clear understanding of my role in regards to her.
Okay.
And I think that that is also impeding.
What if that just makes you even better at your job? What if you're good at your job because you're able to assess yourself? You're able to see, oh, you know what? Maybe I made a mistake here and I could handle this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Just like you can be good at weight loss by making mistakes, you can be good at your job by making mistakes. You know, if you were perfect at your job, she could still think she doesn't need your help.
Right.
And right?
Just like me. Yep, right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, like, going forward, how to stop worrying about it. Okay, so I know I'm good at my job. I can't control her. I have a manual for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when Corinne was talking about Logan and the, what was he worried about? He was worried about something, and she was saying, you know, flip your brain off of something else. I mean, that's what I was trying to do, but it's been a long time since I've had something like this where I just can't stop worrying about it.
Okay. So what is worry getting for you? What is it how is it benefiting you? Because it's, and I'm not saying that rhetorically, because you are getting some benefit out of this worry or you wouldn't be doing it.
Right. I think I must be feeling more prepared by...
You're telling yourself you feel more prepared.
Right. By thinking, well, what if they do this? What if they do that? What if I... Because I think that it's going to be... It's most likely going to be not a good situation when we go back. So... I'm anticipating it being difficult, and I'm anticipating her being difficult based on past behaviors. And I feel shame about how I showed up in this situation. Like, I have been professional for 2 years as she's come at me. And this one incident, I wasn't even really super unprofessional, but I was more emotional than I would have liked. I didn't go for any like insults or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I think because I feel bad about it, it impedes my ability to just be like, I'm good at my job. You think what you think.
Right.
Because I screwed it up. You know?
Well, here's the thing. When you come across her again, whether it's tomorrow or next week or whenever you meet with her again, you get to decide how you show up. You don't get to decide how she shows up.
Right.
Okay. So you get to prepare yourself in any way you think you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But worrying about how she's going to react is going to be totally counterproductive.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to anticipate anything about how she's going to react. She could come in and say, you know, Aaron, I'm really sorry I acted that way. You're right. She's probably not going to.
Yeah, probably not
going to. Your face. Okay. But wouldn't that be cool if she did?
It would be.
But what if she doesn't? If she comes in and she says, I still don't think I need your help, you can say, you know what? You get to think that. You get to be wrong. You can think that in your mind. She gets to be wrong.
So what should I be doing as I feel it start coming back up again?
Mm-hmm. Have you listened to the Worry Bucket podcast?
I'm not sure if I've listened to the podcast. I know the idea. You set a time for 15 minutes and...
Yeah. I think it's number... I could be wrong, but I think it's around number 65.
Okay. I'll go back and listen to that. Okay, I'll try that.
I think I'd use the worry bucket.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
And all right. Good luck. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye. Mouse is upside down. All right, hang on. I got to find my mouse. Here we go. All right. Tanya. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. First time on a call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an April baby, and I have two real quick questions.
Okay.
What I have noticed is that the first question is, if I have made my weekly plan, mm-hmm. and I have made my 24-hour plan, mm-hmm. and something changes in the schedule.
Yep.
And I end up having to, you know, go to a meeting, and it's going to, I'm not going to basically be home to eat what I had planned to
mm-hmm.
eat.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the most appropriate choice that was there, and I didn't overeat. I ate the 2 to 2. Because it's an off plan, do I need to do a worksheet?
If you feel like you made the right choice in the moment for the right reasons, you can do a worksheet, but you're probably just going to uncover what you just told me. I just couldn't get home. You made the best choice in the moment.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So
I'm doing the worksheets, but I'm not finding, I'm finding that at the end of the worksheet, I'll write something like, you know, really didn't have any other option. I had this meeting and it was across town or whatever the situation was. The second question I have is, I am in the future self. And so I've gone through that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And the last lesson, when it was talking about fueling, it introduced exception meals.
Okay.
And I have a real problem with exception meals because I have done well. I've lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel deprived or, you know, I'm logically saying this makes sense. I can do mm-hmm. this good. And I feel like if I eat the exception meal, then it's going to catapult me into justifying overeats. And so what do I do about that?
That's exactly why you plan and do an exception meal.
Because you want me to justify the overeat?
No, because I want you to get over the fear of having an exception meal.
Regardless, you're not going to, you know, you're going to gain weight.
No, you're not going to gain weight if you eat it 2 or 2. What you're going to do is show yourself that you can have it. Give me a typical, what would be an exception meal for you?
Okay. So this past weekend, I had a nephew that got married.
Okay.
And I had put on my 24-hour plan. We had a rehearsal dinner,
mm-hmm.
and then we had the wedding, and it was an out-of-town wedding. And so for the rehearsal dinner, I knew what was going to be served because my sister was paying for the rehearsal dinner, and she told me what the menu was.
Yeah.
So that was fine, no problem. But at the wedding, I didn't know what was going to be served, but I did want a piece of wedding cake.
Sure.
And that's what I wrote on there as my exception is I wrote a piece of wedding cake.
Okay.
But I found that if, you know, I really debated about whether I needed to eat the wedding cake because I wasn't hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't hungry at all. But I kept on hearing in my head, but it's your exception. You can go ahead and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hungry or not. And then when I ate it, I felt like really bad that I ate it because one, I wasn't hungry. And two, I knew I would gain weight. I didn't get on the scale because I don't want to see myself as correct.
So you think one piece of cake is going to pile on the pounds?
I don't know.
Here's that's the problem. Okay. Here, it's okay to choose not to have your exception if you're not hungry for it. Okay. It's not okay to limit your exceptions because you're afraid you're going to gain weight. And here's why. There's going to be other opportunities in your lifetime for you to have wedding cake or birthday cake or Easter cake or Christmas cookies or whatever, Mother's Day cake, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Are you going to restrict yourself for the rest of your life from ever having cake again? Or do you want to learn how to plan and enjoy a piece of cake every now and then as an exception and know without a doubt that you'll be able to maintain your weight loss?
Yes, I want to do that.
Well, the only way to do that is to practice it.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say you had your piece of cake.
Yeah.
Have you weighed since the wedding at all?
No, I haven't weighed. I mean, I'm, you know, we got back.
Are you back on plan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I bet you $1 when you come up Friday, you're not like super overweight because you had a piece of cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take up on that dollar.
But you get my point. This is how you live life. This is why we have realistic plans so that you don't go through life restricted and deprived, because what'll happen is if you go through life restricted and deprived, eventually you're going to be like, this is crap. I don't want to be without cake the rest of my life. And you throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Right. That's what I historically have done.
Right. And see, you're finding yourself in that pattern again. So instead of beating yourself up because you have a piece of cake, look at it as an opportunity to learn how to include cake in your life every now and then. You're not going to eat it every day.
Yeah.
But you are going to want to plan it now and then, or ice cream, or
yeah,
whatever it is that, you know, is your favorite exception food.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I'm going to try and be brave and do that. Yeah.
Try and be brave and do that.
Okay.
Try it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Melissa B. I think you're going to be my last one. And then, because I still have about 9 in the Q&A. What happened to you? There you are. Are you there, Melissa?
It's my first time, so bear with me.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I had 3 Melissas tonight.
I know, and I had to leave for a minute because I had puppy playtime in the yard. I had to run out.
Oh, no.
All right. That? Well, I was going to ask you about... this is when my dog starts to bark. I was going to ask you about Saturdays and how they've always kind of been Dramaville for me, but I asked a coaching question last night, and I got it back while we were on here, so I thought that was kind of a bigger problem for me. So let's just focus on that. So I don't know if you're the one that answered or if it was the other coach, but my job is not the greatest job in the world. I work for an electric company. Okay. And I do meter work outside, which most of the time is not a terrible big deal. But then part of the job is doing collection work. So I'm the one that shows up to your house and says, hey, I need X amount when I'm shutting your power off.
Oh.
Not the nicest job in the world, and obviously doesn't make me terribly popular.
I'm sure the electric company appreciates your work, though.
Yes, I would hope so. I just don't like confrontation, which is odd for me doing that job. So I sent this question in, and whoever responded said, I need the stress that I feel when someone starts screaming at me, or I've, you know, mm-hmm. I've had guns pulled on me and dogs let out on me and all that, is mm-hmm. I immediately just want like sugary something. Like that's my immediate reaction.
Okay.
So obviously that's not a good way to lose weight. So I'm just trying to work on my mental shit. That's always kind of been the problem for me. So they came back and said to fill out the statement, when someone yells, I feel angry and frustrated because I keep thinking blank. Mm-hmm. So I've been chatting with my accountability partners during this whole thing. So I think I came up with a couple good things, but again, I'm not great at journaling and I'm not great at working on mental stuff. So I guess I'll tell you what we came up with and you can tell me if that works and how to work around it.
Okay.
So the first one was, I keep thinking I'm just doing my job.
Okay.
The second one is if they'd handled their business, I wouldn't even be there. So I get kind of frustrated that they're mad at me when in actuality they didn't handle their stuff and now they're mad at me for it. And the third was, I have a tendency, I have all male coworkers and we're all kind of type A personalities, but I'm usually the one that goes above and beyond to help people. So I will give them all their options. I'll get on the phone. I'll try to work out arrangements and do a lot of stuff to try to help them to avoid, you know, the inevitable of their power being shut off. And for me to go above and beyond and be a people pleaser and try to help them, sometimes it calms people down and then other times it just doesn't stop screaming. So I just don't, I'm trying to figure out how to work that.
Okay. So what if they get to be upset?
I know that. And it's a sad
thing. Why does it upset you when they get upset?
I think it's because I just don't like the confrontation.
Because you take it personally.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they angry at you?
Well, when you pull a gun on me, I would assume so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Some people don't, you know, they think it's a crappy job and nobody should ever do it, I guess. But.
Well, that's their thought. It's paying your bills and it's what you're doing. So it's your job. You know, I think I would look at why you want to eat to resolve the stress. The reason, and well, I can tell you the reason is because you don't want to feel the stress and the frustration and the upset. So you eat. It's a distraction technique.
Right.
But it's part of the job, right?
Right.
Having to do this part of your job is part of your job. So what if that's just your thought? This is part of, I keep thinking I'm just doing my job. That's not what's leading to stress though. Right. What's leading to stress is some other thought. So if I were to say, if you're standing on my doorstep and I'm yelling at you and you're stressed out, what is your thought?
Yeah. Again, not really good at the mental work.
What do you think? I mean, why are you stressed? Why don't we just ask that? Why are you stressed?
Well, at that point, I'd be concerned what might happen next.
Okay.
They elevate to a point of not just yelling.
Okay. So that's what's stressing you, is you're worried about how the person is reacting to you.
Right.
Okay. You're upset about that. It's not, I'm just doing my job. It's that stressing you. What's stressing you is, I hope I get out of here alive. Okay. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Okay. So that's the thought that you have to mitigate.
Okay.
That's the one that's causing you the stress. So if I were to tell you, what could you think instead? You know, do you feel safe? Do you feel unsafe in your job? Or do you feel safe in your job?
Probably 90% of the time, I feel fine. I feel like I follow my gut pretty well. If something feels off, I'm getting the heck out of there. And you know.
So we'll there's your thought, right? Okay. I know how to follow my gut. Okay. This situation doesn't feel right, so I'm out.
Okay.
This is going to be, you know, that's, I think that's how you mitigate the stress, is you find that internal confidence that you know how to do your job and you know how to assess a situation.
Okay.
Because it sounds like you have that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it for enough time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The stress, the reaction to the stress is the urge to eat.
Right.
Okay. So if you can mitigate the stress a little bit, you can probably help the urge to eat. But if you understand that the two of those are connected, you can find some other way to burn off the stress.
Okay.
When you do feel it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm going to have to write this down. I have to go back and listen and write as you're talking, but okay.
Yeah, you can certainly do that. It should be up tomorrow. I have to write the little description for it, but it should be up tomorrow.
Hopefully none of my customers are listening.
You know what? If they are, then they'll just know you've got great intuition.
guess
but you know true. How you know how to assess whether or not you need to get the heck out.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Does that help? Right.
I think so. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye bye.
I've lost my mouse again. There it is. Okay, Lee, I see you. If we can be really quick, I will take you. And then I'll do the Q&A.
Oh.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am. And I do have a very quick question, but my Zoom went freakish for me for a second. Let me give you 2 seconds, see if I can fix it. And am I there?
Yep, there you are.
Okay, cool. Yeah, actually, I have a pretty straightforward question.
Okay.
So I've been in an accountability group and we're all very social and we chat a lot and we've even have like offshoot groups and there's about 6 of us. But none of us are losing any weight. And we've been in since January and I get that this sort of takes time and all of us have lost weight previously and some of us have gained weight since we started. And sometimes I wonder if we're not holding each other accountable, but I also don't want to be authoritarian and tell them we're doing it wrong, but I just kind of get the sense that this isn't helping anybody. So I just wanted to see if you have some thoughts on that or.
So what are you getting out of the group?
I think we all get different things. I mean,
no, what are you getting out of the group?
Me? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I found a really close friend and it's nice to have people to talk about weight loss with who kind of get it, you know, and it's nice other people that have the model. So when one of us is like doing an unintentional model, they'll sort of push back on an intentional model.
Okay. So is this, really is like that, that, yeah, is that worth your time then in this group?
Oh yeah.
If that's all you do?
Yeah, that's absolutely worth it, I think.
Okay. So what's the problem?
I guess for me, maybe it's just, I don't feel like the group is holding me accountable. So it's turned into a coaching group, an informal coaching group, not an accountability group.
So have you told them, I need you to hold me accountable in these ways?
No. I haven't thought to just use I statements. I kind of made it a we as a group should think about this, but maybe I should just say I need to be held accountable and then maybe just model what I need and let them do what they want to do.
Exactly.
Okay. How do I then deal with the fact that they all share a lot? And when I get on there, I feel like I'm supposed to respond to all 5 of their shares with counter thoughts.
That's a thought. You don't have to respond to anything.
So you don't think I'm being disrespectful of the group if I just use it for what I want and don't reciprocate with what they're bringing to the table?
That's for you to decide.
Maybe I should just ask them if they feel disrespected by that. And if they don't, worry about it.
Yeah, I'm coaching you. I'm not coaching the group. True. You're on my call, right?
You're right.
So yeah. I think if you're getting what you need out of the accountability group, you don't have to do anything. If you want more, you either tell them and see if they're up for it, or you get a second group or another group.
You're right. This is a me issue, and I'm trying to do it for the benefit of the group, but really, they can do what they want. I just have to ask them for what I might need.
Right. Okay. And you might spur the group into saying, you know what, I could use that accountability too, or you might not.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't know what's best for them at all.
Right.
All right, cool. Well, that was an easy fix.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Okay, let's breeze through this Q&A real quick. Is the talk yesterday from Corinne going up on the website today? I can't seem to find it. It usually does go up in 24 hours, but Sadie is off on Mondays. And I know today is Tuesday, but that also means that Sadie had a lot of work to catch up on. So usually it does go up. I would look for it in a couple of places. There is a realistic plan resource page that was sent out in the email Sunday with all the instructions about realistic planning week. So that's, I would look there first and I'd look in the podcast. Oh, and she says, never mind. I think it was just posted. Okay. Kathy joined PMP in January, doing great with all the basics except 2-to-2 tips. Kathy, I'm going to suggest you post that in the Facebook group. Because I can give you Kathy's tips. If you post it in the Facebook group, you're going to get a lot more tips. Alicia, I'm a newbie and I have been planning daily, but go off plan almost every day, primarily by overeating and eating sweets that aren't on my plan. Any suggestions? Put the sweets on your plan. You're not, if you're eating sweets every day and you're not planning them, your plan is not realistic. Janice, I found the feelings wheel sheet and I'm using it, but not sure if there's more to it. How is it put together to use it? I guess I need an orientation, or is it straightforward? All it is a list of feelings. They're arranged, I think, because they're supposed to, you know, kind of, I don't know, the ones that are closer feelings together, you know, closer, like in definition, are probably closer together on the feelings wheel. I never really put that much thought into it. I just searched the wheel until I found a feeling that described what I was feeling. So you're probably overthinking it. Amber, I was a children's minister at a large church in my town. It seemed like everyone watched what I did and had an opinion. It didn't really bother me, but I quit to be a stay-at-home mom. Now I have this lingering cycle that I never really had before that I like to eat through instead of deal with. I'm a sensitive person. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with thinking about why people do the things they do. Then I get wrapped up in what people think of my actions. Then I want to isolate myself. Then I get lonely, so I begin to build community. Then the anxiety hits again, so I put on the brakes. Gosh, Amber. It does seem like you're in a cycle, and it looks like there's a lot of self-judgment in your cycle. If you're worried about what other people are thinking of you and that's causing you to isolate, then it's probably because you're worried about what you're thinking about yourself. So I think I would start there and ask why you're so wrapped up in what people think about what you're doing. Why is it important? Why is what someone else thinks about what you're doing important to you? Do a thought download on that and go over to Ask Coaches and put that in there. And let's see if we can sort something out for you. Next one is, my husband planned the dinners for this week. He switched dinners. We ate Tuesday on Monday and Thursday on Tuesday. Is that an off-plan eat? They were on my weekly plan, just switched. I would say no. Well, technically, yes, it is an off-plan eat. Is it fine? Yes. I did the same thing tonight. I didn't cook dinner. I heated up the casserole we were supposed to have tomorrow night instead because I ran out of time. So I did the same thing. I'm not doing a recovery worksheet because it was planned for the week. My realistic 24-hour plan consists of 11 different snacks. I only maybe eat two. Is this a problem that I have so many options? No. If you're sticking to plan, if that helps you, it's not a problem. If you're eating according to your hunger scale, not a problem at all. Anonymous wants to know, what's the difference between a realistic plan and an exception plan? This is a really great question. A realistic plan is what you are going to eat all day long. Sometimes it will include exceptions. An exception plan is like, I know on Mother's Day, my son's going to take me out to eat and I'm going to get a piece of cheesecake. So I'm going to go ahead and plan for the cheesecake. For me, it is not realistic to plan cheesecake every day. That makes it an exception. It is, however, realistic for me to plan, dark chocolate every day. Just pulling that right out of my hind end, seriously. So if you know that you're going to eat a piece of chocolate every day, then I would put that on the realistic plan. If you're going to plan a special meal out or a special dessert out or something that's out of the norm, that's when you use your exception planning. I hope that makes sense. If that's not enough of an explanation, go over and post that in Ask Coaches as well. All right, you guys, that's everything. I hope you have a terrific night. Thanks for hanging in with me, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.